Our reading today comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm actually going to start a little bit before the verses indicated, just to give you, again, context. Peter writes, "My dear friends, this is now the second time I've written to you, both letters, reminders to hold your minds in a state of undistracted attention. Keep in mind what the Holy Prophet said and the command of our Master and Savior that was passed on by your apostles. First off, you need to know that in the last days, mockers are going to have a heyday. Reducing everything to the level of their puny feelings, they'll mock, 'So what's happened to the promise of his coming? Our ancestors are dead and buried, and everything's going on just as it has from the first day of creation. Nothing's changed.' They conveniently forget that long ago all the galaxies and this very planet were brought into existence out of watery chaos by God's word. And then God's word brought the chaos back in a flood that destroyed the world. The current galaxies and Earth are fuel for the final fire. God is poised, ready to speak his word again, ready to give the signal for the judgment and destruction of the desecrating skeptics. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. God isn't late with his promise, as some measure lateness. He's restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end, because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced like a thief. The sky will collapse with a thunderous bang, everything disintegrating in a huge conflagration, Earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. And since everything here today might well be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is to live a holy life? Daily expect the day of God, eager for its arrival. The galaxies will burn up and the elements melt down that day, but we'll hardly notice. We'll be looking the other way, ready for the promised new heavens and the promised new earth, all landscaped with righteousness. So, my dear friends, since this is what you have to look forward to, do your very best to be found living at your best, in purity and peace. Interpret our Master's patient restraint for what it is, salvation. Our good brother Paul, who has given much wisdom to these matters, refers to this in all his letters and has written you essentially the same thing. And some things Paul writes are difficult to understand. Irresponsible people who don't know what they're talking about twist them every which way. They do it to the rest of the scriptures too, destroying themselves as they do it. But you, friends, are well warned. Be on guard lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless and loose-talking teachers. Grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to the Master now and forever. Amen. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Recently, there was a conference down at the seminary called the Abundant Life Conference. And in it, one of the keynote speakers started out with a quote. I'll share it with you. The quote was, "The budget shall be balanced, the treasury should be refilled, public debt should be reduced, the arrogance of officialdom should be tempered and controlled, and the assistance to foreign lands should be curtailed lest the country become bankrupt. People must again learn to work instead of living off public assistance." That was the quote. And then he asked the group if anyone knew who said it. Does anyone here happen to know who this is from? Well, as might be expected, the names mentioned were many politicians on both sides. And the names kept coming, the names kept coming, and finally he said, nope, none of those are right. And then he shared who had said that. Turned out it was Cicero back in 55 BC. That's a few years ago. Almost 21 centuries ago. But it sounds like it could have been said in the most recent political campaign, doesn't it? In fact, maybe they just keep quoting him over and over and over and over. And, you know, you hear it and you realize, you know, there are some things that absolutely don't change. Even with all the conversation about how the world is changing so rapidly, you realize that in certain fundamental ways, our attitudes, human thoughts, human behavior, unfortunately, doesn't change. And we're resistant to change, and yet the one thing that it seems like we are continually changing is we love change styles. We love the latest, greatest new toy, new shiny thing. The technologies keep changing. There are things that change, but it's more as a source of a distraction in some ways, because we want something new. Some of the change is good in terms of ways that it can save lives, the way the medical field has changed. There are ways that the technologies have been helpful to us. There are things that we have now that weren't available back in 55 BC, and I think we can be grateful for them. But there is still a real disconnect in terms of who we are as human beings and the difficulty we have in changing and being the people that God is calling us to truly be. And so as we read this letter that was written so many years ago, it was in a time when people were frustrated, and also because they didn't necessarily want to change. How much easier to just go living your life the way you want to, doing what you want to do, than to actually accept the challenge God gives us to live a different kind of life. And yet, we're a people who seem so confused. Every day we're feeling all kinds of feelings. Every day we're trying to find our way. And sometimes in the midst of all that, we can get very discouraged. We can feel very sad about what's going on. We can feel very confused. And we wonder, what are the answers? And we wonder, when am I going to know the answers? When am I going to know? What can I believe? What can I trust? What should I be following? And in this time of waiting, and in the midst of all the worldly distractions, there is a voice that is calling to us as well. Calling us to step back. Calling us to take a fresh look at who we are, at how we're living, at the choices we're making. And we're continually reminded that everything could change in an instant. And if it did, if the back doors opened right now, and if Jesus came through those doors, how would you feel? If he sat next to you and he asked you, how is your life going? Would you feel comfortable? Would you know how to answer? Do you feel that you're following? Each of us have right now. And even though the days go past, and even though we may feel like we've got forever, we don't have forever. And often, if we're sucked into the world's way of living, if we're moving in that direction and thinking, ah, the spiritual life, I can go back to that later, another time, but right now, gotta get to the store, gotta get to that soccer meet, gotta get this done, gotta get that done. Do those things really matter? Do they? It's an interesting story about Bill and Judith Moyers. When they did a documentary about death and dying in the United States, interesting thing was that they discovered that many of the terminal patients that they interviewed actually found their greatest peace in the face of death. In fact, many of them, they say, found greater meaning and beauty in life after learning that they would die. There was one man who lived 4 years past his doctor's prognosis, and in that time, he says he learned to cherish every minute of his life. As he said, if you're told you'll never see spring again, and you live to see spring, spring takes on a whole new life. Nothing focuses our priorities quite like knowing our own mortality. I experienced something of that myself, my first cancer diagnosis, and maybe some of you in your own health issues have. Time is such a strange thing, and even as our scriptures are talking about 1,000 years being like a day being like 1,000 years, our own lives are the same. And it's in the immediacy, it's in recognizing how brief, that maybe we can actually discern what has real value. My friends, in this time of Advent, this time of waiting, this time of watching, my prayer is that each of us will use it as an opportunity to really pay attention, to step aside from the things that are distracting us, the things that we might think have value but really don't, and instead to be able to see and feel and experience each moment with a revived sense of life. And at the same time, with the recognition that how we choose to live our lives impacts other people. And that as we choose to follow God, as we choose to follow His Son, that we have an opportunity to bless others all around us as well. My friends, take the time. Look at your life. Listen to what God is telling you. Follow where He's calling you. It could be a turning point that changes everything in an instant, and for the better. Let us pray. Almighty God, we live in a world that is rapidly changing and yet in crucial ways is not. We try to find our ways and sometimes instead feel even more lost. But we pray, Lord, that You would guide our path, that You would bless us and show us ways to bless others. In Your name we pray. Amen.